verses 16 through 23. It is found on pages 1148 to 1149 of the Pew Bibles. For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share it in its blessings.
I want to say a word of thanks to Max Pargian, one of our high school students, who's stepping in for Pastor Bob today. We're happy that Max could help out. Let us pray. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, O Lord. May that word take root in our hearts and grow and flourish for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. We pray in his name. Amen. Drew Dyke wrote in his Church Humor blog this week, I saw a disturbing video a few days ago. It was a grainy cell phone video shot inside a French grocery store where a riot broke out. French people now are not known for being warring with each other or losing their cool, but what was it that made them riot? Nutella. You know, that nutty, chocolatey spread people put on toast and pretend it's different than laying a Snickers bar on top of your bread? Well, apparently the Nutella was 70% off, and since the supply was limited, the French pushed, elbowed, and tackled their countrymen before it was all gone, all without saying one, excusez-moi. As I witnessed the melee, I started wondering how we could use the powers of Nutella for good. Then it hit me. Let's give away Nutella at church. Lots of people like it. We try all the kinds of gimmicky things. What about free Nutella? That might work. Unfortunately, it wouldn't bring in the millennials. They're the ones driving that bizarre avocado on toast trend. But that means more Nutella for us. What did the people in Corinth in the first century demand? It wasn't Nutella, let me assure you. In Paul's day, what they demanded was the very same as every people, every tribe, every culture, every country has demanded since Pharaoh first let the Israelites go. It's freedom. It's freedom. In the ancient world, people were purchased for freedom out of slavery. Sometimes it was the reverse. They were purchased for slavery to serve in a household. The New Testament is full of slavery. In fact, if you have a translation of the Bible that translates the Greek word doulos as servant in every case, you could change that almost every time to the word slave. Slave. There were few servants in the ancient world, and in fact, they had their own name. I can't recall the Greek word just now, but it's translated hireling, or servants that are for hire. Even though slavery was rampant in the ancient world, slaves could hold responsible jobs for their masters. Some were political emissaries. Some were even doctors or nurses and teachers. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 9, links salvation to slavery. This is surely one of the great paradoxes of the Christian faith. Two opposites that don't seem to fit together. Freed by Christ so that we are enslaved by Christ. In the New Testament, the word most used for church means the assembly of the free. Christ has set us free. Paul calls himself, if not all Christians, however, slaves. Paul is in the middle of explaining why he wasn't going to take any compensation from the church at Corinth, who had means. They were a wealthy church. But he's called to proclaim the good news about Christ, so he's not motivated by reward or motivated by punishment. The gift of evangelism has permeated him, and his passion is sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he'd better do it because he's been told to do it. If one must put Paul's preaching within the concept of reward, then yes, he has his reward. Being able to share the good news that changes people's lives forever is his reward. And he celebrates that. Paul is free to become a slave to everyone, which means serving everyone in order to bring anyone to Christ by faith. Whether speaking in a Jewish or non-Jewish idiom or living with a Jewish or non-Jewish culture, Paul adapts in order to attract people to the grace of God in Jesus Christ. If people do not live within Jewish ritual laws, Paul will disregard such regulations. If people are living on a wider principle of Christ's love, Paul will live in that way. If someone is weak, as we talked about last week, those of you that were here from the 8th chapter of 1 Corinthians, if they're weak and they believe it's wrong to eat food offered to pagan idols, then Paul will not eat food offered to pagan idols. You see, as Max read to us a moment ago, he has become all things for all people so that he can bring everyone the gospel of Jesus. He also suggests that, he says, I do this so as not to make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Well, that's a hot-button word in our culture, somewhat of a sad and confusing word for Americans, because we've all been taught that we possess rights, that we should defend our rights, and in some cases, we should demand our rights. I think if Paul were going to turn his thinking in the direction of rights, he would probably suggest that we as Christian people expend our energies securing and defending the rights of others rather than our own. He also suggests that some people who change according to the situation do so because they're weak, others because they're hypocritical. Paul is no chameleon. He's not changing his colors to fit the background in which he is living. He's a camouflaged agent of Christ, infiltrating the world with good news. And underneath all the external differences that he puts on or takes off, depending on in what company he is in, at his heart, he is a pastor of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus. And that's what he is about. In his letter to the Galatians, he reports that Peter tried to do the same thing, but Peter's gift was not the same as Paul's. So Peter struggled to do this. Paul was actually much better at it. Elsewhere, he states that he's not going to engage in some kind of risky moral behavior because of this strategy. He will not do evil, for instance. He writes time after time, abstain from evil. Here he refers to the kind of behavior the ancient Greeks called indifferent. Indifferent, that is, it wasn't at the center or the core of their beliefs. Indifferent is the standard of judging certain behaviors that are neither necessary nor forbidden. They are not central to our faith. We can take them or we can leave them. By stating that, he is compelled to preach that he therefore does not do it willingly, but he's urged, he's called, he's, to use the right word, commissioned by God to share the gospel. Martin Luther once said, "A Christian man is a most free lord of all, subject to none. A Christian man is a most dutiful servant of all, subject to all." He's echoing the same experience as Paul had. And it's not just a philosophy. It's not just a way of thinking. It's how they experience their lives within the culture that they lived. Christians are free, subject to none. But Christians are slaves, bound to all. He's expressing the great freedom we have in Christ in the complementary truth we are Christ's servants, free to do anything we want, along with our bound duty to serve others. You might not be able to follow that reasoning if you were taking a logic class, but it's true nonetheless. Paul explains to the church that as a free person, he can do anything he wishes, but he's free in Christ, so he chooses not to do certain things because it's not helpful to everyone. Not everything is beneficial to the family of God if it doesn't build up Christian people in faith, hope, and love. Paul wishes to build up the church, not dominate people. He doesn't try to turn people into his slaves, but he tells them that they are slaves of our Lord, Jesus Christ. It doesn't take many years in ministry to start recognizing the people in churches who want to dominate others. And I'm not talking about doctrine, people who say, this is the belief that you have to stand on, that I insist on for others. It's more about the way things are done in the church. You'll find Christians who try to dominate and make life miserable for others who don't agree with them about the right way to take up the offering, or the right color of the carpet in the sanctuary, or the right way to say or not to say the Lord's Prayer, or the right songs to sing, or the right way to arrange the Christmas decorations, or the right hours to hold worship, or the right way to take communion, or the right recipe for the Lenten soup. That's just a short list of the things that people in churches argue about. Petty things. Things that are not central to our faith. There's even a tiny, minuscule, itsy-bitsy chance that you've known pastors like that. Maybe. Take heart. There are even non-Christians like this. Paul doesn't spend his time trying to get everything in Corinth to go his way. If he has an independent opinion, if he's just giving an advisement, he's careful to note that in his letter. He's saying, this is not a word from the Lord, but in my wisdom, this is what I would suggest you do. He tries to win people to Christ. He has many acquaintances, and his intention is that all of them understand for whom he works and for what purpose his life is serving. You think that it's right to stay away from meat that's been offered in sacrifice to pagan gods? Okay, says Paul. I won't eat meat. He's free to live this way. He's free in Christ. He's free for the sake of others, and he defers to others on matters that aren't centrally important. Also, he might convince them to believe in Jesus Christ. He doesn't tell his recipients of his letters exactly how to live in every circumstance. Instead, he trusts in the will of God and the common sense of people to make decisions that will benefit others. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life for many. He died as a slave dies. He was rich, but he became poor for our sakes. Are we serving ourselves every day, our inordinate ego needs, so life will go our way? And do we serve our church in the same way, so we can always get our own way in things at church? Paul doesn't give cookie-cutter answers. Each one of us needs to figure out how we'll respond in faith to God's call in Jesus Christ. Let me suggest a way for us to wrap this up. A motto that comes from St. Augustine, who, in talking to Christian people about how to live and these type of things, would say, love God and do as you please. Love God and do as you please. So let's keep our freedom and let's never fight over the Nutella. Can we agree on that? We'll never fight over the Nutella. Because we are free in Christ. Love God and do as you please. That should keep us busy for the rest of our lives. Amen. Our response to the word today is the Apostles' Creed. I invite all of you to stand as we declare our faith together.